Nehemiah chapter 4. This is all about the opposition that Nehemiah encountered as he tried to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. Whenever you try and do something for God, you will always have opposition. Nothing ever goes smoothly. A lot of people give up serving God because of that. But all these examples in the Bible are to encourage us to keep on keeping on. When Sanballat heard that we Jews were rebuilding the wall, now he was one of the local people living around Jerusalem at the time, he was furious and began to laugh at us. Before his companions and the soldiers of the Samaritans, he said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Do they intend to rebuild this city?" Of course, he knew full well that the kings of Persia had given the command to rebuild it. "Do they think that through their offering of sacrifices, they can somehow finish this job in one day? Can they make stones for building appear out of the heaps of burned up rubble that are here?" Tobiah was standing there beside him, and he added, "And what kind of wall could these people build? Even a fox, if he bumped into it, would knock it over." So it's as if the, as it were, the zoom of the camera, the video camera, is right up. We see Sanballat standing there and Tobiah standing next to him, and they're making these snide comments. Now, how does Nehemiah respond? Does he say to them, "Be quiet, we've got the letters from the kings of Persia to do this work"? Da, da, da. No, he doesn't. What does he do? "I prayed. Listen to their mockery of us, O my God. Let their mockery come back on their own heads. Let them be robbed of all the things they have, and may they be taken as prisoners into a strange land. Don't forgive the wickedness that they're doing. Don't forget their sins, because they have insulted us, we who are building here." So, when you run into this opposition, or when you hear hurtful words, you ask God to listen to it. It's a bit like Hezekiah when they mock him for trusting in God. He takes the letter that he gets from Sennacherib and he puts it before the Lord. Now, of course, God knows all the words that are said by anybody, but he is paying special attention when it's said about us. So when people hurt us, then take their words to God. Now, of course, if we say hurtful words to other people, you realize that's what's going to happen to us. That the person we've hurt with our words is going to say to God, "Oh, he said this about me. I'm so hurt, God." And God is going to be angry. So this is why Jesus says, "By your words you'll be judged. By your words you're going to be justified or condemned." So that's how it is. And we've got to be very careful with our language, because God is very sensitive to language. So we continued with the rebuilding of the wall, and soon it was up to half the intended height because the people were willing workers. Sanballat, Tobiah, and the local Arabs, Ammonites, and people of Ashdod heard that we were making quick progress in the work of rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem and that we were closing up the gaps that were in the wall. They became even more angry. You see, when people see you succeeding in your work for God, they will get really angry. They will get jealous. So they made plots to come and attack Jerusalem and to confuse us. But we prayed to our God and we kept our men on guard constantly, day and night. So then, the response of Nehemiah to all this is to pray. And often that is all you can do. It's very hard to actually fight these sort of people. You can only put it to God. As the builders were working, they had a song which they used to sing, which said, "We're becoming weak, carrying burdens. There's so much rubble to take away. How can we build the wall today?" So, I don't know if we're to read that as them complaining that the work was too hard for them, or whether they were singing this song to encourage themselves that although we're so weak carrying all this rubble away, we're going to continue doing it. Our enemies thought that we wouldn't see them or notice what was going on until they were right upon us, until they were going to kill us and put an end to our work. But constantly the Jews, who were living among our enemies, came to warn us about the plans that they were making. So I gave the builders swords, spears, and bows, and I stationed guards behind the wall wherever it was still not finished. So you see, those Jews who were still living amongst the enemies of the Jews, you could say they ought to have really come over and helped in the work, but right, they didn't, but they did help in their own way. It's a bit like when David has to flee from Jerusalem in the time of Absalom's rebellion. He leaves behind in Jerusalem a few friends, and they're actually his salvation. Nehemiah says, I saw that the people feared. So I said to them and to their elders, do not fear our enemies. Remember what a great and awesome God we have. Fight for your brothers, for your children, your wives, and for your families. Our enemies heard that we knew their plots, and they realized that our God had defeated their plans. We continued rebuilding the wall. From then on, half of my men worked building, and half of them were guards, wearing coats of mail, armed with spears, shields, and bows. And the leaders fully supported the people who were rebuilding the wall. Even those who were carrying the materials and the bricks for the rebuilding worked with one hand and had a weapon in the other. Everybody who was building had a sword strapped to his side. And there was a trumpeter with a bugle who was continually with me. I encouraged the people and their officials and leaders. The work is scattered over quite a wide distance, and we are separated the one from the other on this wall. So if you hear the sound of the bugle or the trumpet, you are to gather together around me, and our God will fight for us. So each day, from when the sun came up until the stars came out at night, half of us were working on the wall, while the other half guarded with their spears. Throughout this time, I told the men who were in charge of the work that they and all their helpers must remain in Jerusalem at night, so that we could guard the city at night as well as do the work in the daytime. I never took my clothes off, even at night, neither did any of my companions, nor my servants, nor my guards, and we had our weapons continually at the ready. So we get the impression, though, that they didn't actually have to use their weapons because they trusted in God to protect them. So this is how I guess it has to be. You have to be prepared to actually do the human side of things, and yet you trust in God that he will do his side. And as you see in this case, God did his side, and there is no evidence that Nehemiah and his men actually had to pull those swords out and fight, because God clearly wanted this great work to go ahead. And we're going to read on how actually it does eventually succeed.